This is from back in November 2009. Ion goes into details with us about how every conversation is two conversations. The doubleness and mirroring in humanity, in reality, is what this split in humans always is. There always is the split. Some like and some don't, whatever's happening. So here we go.
This is reading number 208, November 23rd, 2009. We'd like to do a chapter on every conversation is two conversations.
Yes.
What are the two conversations?
What this topic is about, or a defining reference that we're going to develop here, if it's your pleasure, is the place that you have a line, a linear perspective, and it's what you used to develop and embrace this false premise called time. But that's just where it went awry. But it's not a problem. It's okay. It's still a linear progression. And in this linear progression, what happens is that you come to a place where you can notice in your individual choices the outcomes. Now, that's the only way you'd notice, is because of your choices and those outcomes. If the outcome was the same, if you turned left or right, it wouldn't be consequential. But apparently it is. So it does. So therefore, that becomes the process that you're using to gauge which side of a conversation you land on. Religion's been having trouble with this for a couple thousand years. Dogmatists can't seem to figure out which side they're on. And you know how we feel about scientists, reactionary plausibility hypotheses that take them down the path of resurrection or destruction. But those are all words, but that's the typical definition that you're looking for here, is how is it that you come to this notion that there are indeed two conversations regarding every topical conversation. All right. Every step, TikTok spans, pick your poison, every dynamic is a conclusion of not necessarily a multiplicity of direction. You normally, within the confines of the labyrinth of your mind, you only choose two. People go to restaurants. If it's a very voluminous menu, they have trouble. They like to, well, I don't want this, I don't want this. These are the two things that I want. They normally narrow it down to two. Or let's say you pick pork. Okay, then you pick two things that might go well with that. It's called pairing.
Is that the brain setting that up?
Yes, it does every single time. You start on a process of writing a book. You start on a process, digging the ditch. You start on whatever process that you're doing. And you eliminate, is this going to work or is it not? Well, wait, who said it was only two choices? You did. Well, we have to make it this way because we've only got one shot. And if we don't get it there, we've got one more shot. Well, that's two. We're pointing out the human creator's tenacity regarding of a positive or a negative. And many times, most of the time, not every single time without failure exception, which is the way we like to present it, but for the human's point of view, they want it, is it right or is it wrong?
That's pretty limiting then.
It is very limiting, and that's where you get crossways of yourself, and then you get depression, and then you get all messed up, and then you don't know which way is up, and then nobody loves you, and then it's a problem, and then, well, I don't give a care. I'm just going to do whatever I want to because it doesn't matter anyway. Nobody notices me anyway, so why? What difference does it make? I'm a marvelous, powerful creator, so to hell with them and what they think of it. I'm going on. And when you go that way, see, now you've landed your future experience on the objective. We were almost saying abjective because that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the objective view that you're going to embrace. Okay? Oh, we have to watch out for karma. Okay? Karma's two choices. Either it's going to bite you in the butt or it's going to move you to enlightenment. Those dynamics, that's a separate conversation, but conversations. Then you start eating, and you eat and eat and eat, and then you decide you're full or you're not. The light's on or it's off. Well, why can't it be halfway? Well, it can, but it's still on. So even when you have degrees, you set your oven at a certain temperature, and then you change the temperature. Okay, but that doesn't change the duality of, is the oven on or is the oven off? There you go. And that's how you humans do it. There's not a little medium. There's not like an advertising campaign on the TV body is successful or not.
Well, that's the whole discussion of analog and digital.
Yes.
The yes-no dynamic of the original.
That's the birthing of your chip body and the language it embraces. Mm-hmm. It's a one or a zero. And so every line of programming ends with, if yes, then go to whatever line. If no, go back to the previous affirmative question until you move all the way through the dialogue of the programming. Now, it's been embraced, it's been imbued, it's been graciously enhanced, but either you have conductivity or you do not. Whether the app's open or not, the application. It's getting better, 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 but it's still duality.
As we think we're expanding with all kinds of choices, you know, that we think we have in our environment, in our lives, in our world, I don't think people realize that we still bring it down to a yes and no.
Correct. Regardless of the number of the vastness that is your universe, you still navigate it one direction at a time. And so you've embraced that. Now, do you have any typical or topical conversations that would be different that you could try to undo those words? Or here's an example, what about? And let us explain that.
Can we expand on the benefits of embracing every possibility in the labyrinth of our mind?
Well, sure, we could take you out to non-physical and you could enjoy all those without contrast, but that's not how you like to play. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to dismiss or displace duality. You're not going to do it. Every conversation is two conversations, and that's the way you're wired, and that's the way it is, because just like in that, gosh, it's too much fun to start talking about Cobalt and Fortran and your chip body's evolution, revolutionary process. But you see, if you take the ones and zeros out of the programming, it doesn't work. So try to attach that meme to your chip body and say, okay, we can continue like we're going now, but we're going to take those ones and zeros out, and good luck with that.
What's interesting, though, is there are engineering computer programs where you can plug in any amount of variables you want.
Sure. Every variable in your code goes, if yes, then go to the next line. If no, go back and consider another possibility. Example, let's take the practice of medicine. Every symptom leads to the next process. But you don't take the entire schematic and go, well, it's this, and 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 27 things that are wrong, and you're screwed. No. Mm-hmm. You sift through those. This is out of balance, so look here. Mm-hmm. And if this is in balance, don't look there, look here.
Well, they try to code that all. They're trying to come in medicine. It's kind of impossible to do, but they do have a lot of that dynamic. Actually, when they did our medical examinations, when we had to write tests, they would do a flow like that. Such and such symptom. What do you choose? And if you choose this, okay, what do you choose next? So
exactly. Well, that's the same process.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same process. Now, when you're doctoring a patient, this is what you have tremendous experience and background regarding. What do? You listen. You listen, you listen, you listen. Before you start poking, you listen. And then you get an idea of where they are in perspective to their world. Then you do, they call it medical history. Then you find out what your background is of what things to easily ail you, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, then you take and you start dividing out, sorting out, sifting out the possible pragmatic symptoms would lead you, Dr. Dean, to a, not many, a laudable conclusion. So all that's happened is that you're still having a duality, but you work through each tier of the prognosis. And then once you identify it down to melanoma, something, 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 or, you know, ketone acidosis, pick something. Well, once you get to that place, mm-hmm. then you answer the duality question of, okay, we've presented with three pretty major things. Mm-hmm. First thing, we do this and see how it affects everything else. Second thing, well, we can't use this and this together because we've made a new thing. Even your compounding works that way. Mm-hmm. Third thing, third symptom comes into a place where you go, okay, if we can get this in balance, these other two issues, which are also duality, will have an ability to adjust and correct themselves to a what you call acceptable normal level. And now, the rapist does the same thing. Oh, wait, no, we're sorry, therapist, yeah.
Okay, so we've got the example of doctoring the patient, talked about injury, the yes-no dynamic. The question would be, thinking you just have two choices, how does that limit us?
We would say beyond limiting, it sucks. Okay, because there's a plethora of choices. So much so that you don't even know the deliciousness that is. That is your potential. Because it doesn't fit you, the human creator, do not seem to have the ability to allow a multiplicity of input that can give you an astronomical number of one and zero possibilities or a combination thereof. And so it becomes limiting because you'll find a way. Even if too many choices are, then the next conversation will be, oh, well, I don't have enough time to sort that all out. Oh, well, I don't have the ability. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. You just negate it rather than embrace it to make a choice. Because you humans say all day, every day, that if that choice is something that you can't come to from a yes or no pretty quick aspect, and it's not always definitive yes or no, but sometimes it's a maybe, but you're still not willing to commit to the direction.
You say if you can't come to that choice quickly to a yes, no, and occasionally a maybe, what happens?
What happens is you eliminate it altogether. And that's a possibility that you just threw in the trash. That the men are going to come to your house and take away, and you don't know when or how. And it's gone. You could probably get another one, but then you can't constantly, well, I didn't use this last time. Why am I keeping it again? Throw it away.
Well, it's interesting because I think in my work, I have to look at so many possibilities in a person's symptoms that, you know, constantly sifting through there.
And your sifting is doing nothing other than sorting out the symptoms to what most probably is the disconnection. Most probably, you don't hit a home run every time, you see, but most often if you have these problematic issues and they keep showing up in your physical body over and over and over again, or some dynamic, then you can point to the picture of what they call triage.
Is that type of day after day kind of training, has that opened me up to make more choices in my own life?
Maybe, because the plethora of this choice business is the if clause. You ask that question, if you could take out the if clause, well, if I make this direction, what's the outcome? Oh, well, I can't live with that, so eliminate that one. Okay, if I do this, if this works out this way, okay, there's hope. But hope's not a strategy.
I kind of lost you there.
Okay, if you could do what you're talking about doing and maintain all those sets of outcomes and work through them all at the same time, then you would say, well, it worked, but we don't know what it was that worked. We had too many combinations. So Now it's like, well, then you do all these. Then we'd say, then you go to the Chinese herbalist, they have you on 1,600 supplements or herbs, and you feel better, but you don't know which one it was, and you try to get rid of some of those, and you can't do it.
I mean, the question was, does that type of mind work, is that expanding my mind? Am I looking at more choices, or am I and everybody else just relegated to yes, no, the tearing down to yes,
tearing
no?
Tearing down. But now, with the thinning of the veil, there is a new dynamic. The new dynamic is more choices are showing up that can be your laudable conclusion. And that's forcing you, the non-physical part of you, to put you out on the front lines to get beyond it. As you become a kappa, an enlightened self version of an enlightened man, mm-hmm. then you realize that the dynamic is not limited to duality. All right, so that's what you're trying to achieve. Well, it's so strange because this starts wrapping into the man in the mirror. This starts dealing with degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
This starts
mm-hmm.
dealing with many plethoras of reality that you're coming into place. Okay. But see, here you go. Let's just use that particular question or statement as the bouncing board to get us into the deep end of the pool. Okay. If you, the human creator, can't consider that there is indeed a parallel world, one parallel world, then guess what? All the other worlds are eliminated. But once you come to the place that there is a parallel world, then guess what? Each of those parallel worlds could also then have a parallel. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then your numbers start going crazy after a bit. But if you can't get to the first one, don't worry about how many other worlds there are because you're not having it at all. So even when you get the larger dynamic, the fullness thereof, you eliminate it because, no, there's not two worlds. If there's not two worlds, how can there be 200 trillion worlds? Right now, is not it interesting that even your dynamic of the veil separates duality? On one side you have the heaven, mm-hmm. and then on the other side you have earth. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is that a degree of separation?
Well, it's a duality.
Yeah.
It's a duality. Mm-hmm. And then you go, well, then, what about hell? Uh-oh, where'd hell go?
There's no hell.
Right, exactly. But they use it as a hell. They use the place that they are now as choosing earthbound spirits, you call it. Choose, even in duality, there's not an alternative choice. Mm-hmm. They create one. So now it's either heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. There's eternal life. Okay, we'll have that. Okay? So now you got to choose. Heaven or hell.
Right.
Which is the end. Well, there's no hell. Well, then I guess we're limited. We'd hope for so much more. I guess heaven will have to settle for heaven.
So even your dynamic of the veil separates your world, then are you saying the guff, or are we saying another?
Not
physical. And not physical. So we say it that way. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Good.
Not to confuse.
Mm-hmm.
But see, even that dynamic that we're so tickled to death in non-physical that's taking place is still duality.
Even that dynamic of the veil separating, got it, thinning. Okay, the veil.
Good. Yes, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of this delicious, engaging dynamic, you, the human creator, will, without veil or exception, will come into the fullness or full expression of your place of incomparable power.
Okay, we're having a conversation.
Yes.
Are they aware that they're having two conversations?
Yes. Otherwise they wouldn't converse.
Tell me more.
Okay, what's the news today? What's the scoop? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Had an interesting email. Okay, Bob has an idea of something he wants to talk about if he's engaging the call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, JW has to either embrace that topical conference or negate it. So therefore, his dynamic is the conversation that he would like to address, either communicate or ask. Communicate or ask. There's something I want you know? Well, there's something I think I know that I want to know if you know. Well, there's something that I think you know that I'd like that information. So every time it is, each different dynamic or topical subject matter is duality. Okay? Now, we're doing this real simple because this mm-hmm. is the basic. I mean, you can go into physics if you want to, but this mm-hmm. is the beginning place. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, JW has a conversation with Bob and maybe has something to say, and Bob negates it. Mm-hmm. He's just not having it. Well, JW then has a choice. Either sit down and shut up till it's time, or push the matter to say, no, Bob, you need to get this right this red hot second. And then he gets to choose. Even playing with us in non-physical, the new splendiferous meme of the moment might be the physics of the Twin Towers. But that was not allowed, so therefore mm-hmm. it stopped. The choice was, nope, that'll just make more questions. We don't have time. We got things to do. Mm-hmm. And that's not one of them. So that was pushed to a different place. Mm-hmm. So you even have the power, you marvelous creator, to do it within physical, affecting non-physical's interaction with you. Well, I want to be happy. Okay, Carolyn, you want to be happy? Okay, here you go. Here's happiness. No, Ion, I don't want happy like that. I want real happy. I want happy, happy. I don't want to have to work to get happy. I don't want to have to tend to this thing that's going to bring me joy and bliss. I mean, I love Bob, but I certainly don't want to feed him. Okay? But then that choice then becomes of that application or degree of the labyrinth of your mind. Okay? So, now, can we go back just to that other sentence? The one that, without feather exception, bring you into your place of power? This power will provide, inclusively, the human creator, the map or legend to the labyrinth of your mind. And when you have that answer, then there's no questions. Then you can spend the rest of your time questioning the answers. Or, as you have the duality, which is what you're talking about in this particular chapter, answers will be questions.
So you're saying that it's like, this is the full Monty, these two sentences. Uh-huh. Everything is there, and then you explore that.
And you one or two, or zero or one, zero or one, zero or one. Isn't it interesting that all your basis of what you call your technology is based on that dynamic? And even if you have triplets, it's still you're one, you're one, and you're one. So there's still duality even in the triplets.
Except, I guess I don't know where those two sentence statements, they don't seem to explain, talk about duality.
We don't know either. Just block it in, emphasis applied. We'll use them somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll come together inside, but we couldn't miss the
opportunity. Oh, yeah, gotcha.
It does deal with it because it opens up the choice. The human is in charge of the choice. They made a coffee one time. They called it Taster's Choice. It's who's drinking it chooses.
In order to expand yourself beyond the duality, then you can be working with the power in your mind and accept more choices.
Yes. Mm-hmm. From a spherical point of transition, instead of yes or no, you now can have many. The inside volume of a sphere could allow infinite number of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having that right this second, but now the dynamic is we've upped the ante a bit.
Because when you have a possibility, it's almost like a yes, no. Do you want to go on the straight line and just choose a right or a left every time, or do you want a sphere?
And that's what we call the section that would be the tail end of this part, endless impossibilities. This would be what the humans would call embracing the spherical view. It would be embracing the anatomical endless impossibility.
I'm doing a Bob here where I had a thought and I didn't write it down.
Which D was it?
Help me.
Okay, we were just trying to wrap up the part that deals with duality. And you either embrace it or you don't. There's your duality again. You either get it or you don't. There you go. Perfect words. It's perfect words. And if you get it, then go to. And if you don't, go back to the first part and do it again until you do. And once you get there, then all of a sudden, you have now opened up a new